money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Well, that's really good. We got a pretty exciting show. We have a guest in the studio today, which I'll introduce in a moment.
You always say it's an exciting show.
Because they are all exciting, okay? So, okay, I don't know, okay. Shoot me or something.
No, but very good.
So welcome to the show. It's an exciting show because I say so. Is that good enough?
Yes.
So today's show, sponsored by Financial Discipleship Canada, notmine.ca is their website. Please go visit the website. Again, if you're coming and you've seen the show before, you know that notmine.ca is one of the places where we love to send you for resources. Morethanenough.ca is where you come for transformational coaching. So it's the implementation. And that's why we love the partnership with Financial Discipleship, because they talk about biblical finance from an education standpoint. And then we say, now, let's put that into practice. So that's what we do at More Than Enough. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're listening on 99.1 in the Ottawa area, then you can always listen to the show in their archived shows. So lots of places to,
I think
to
they
listen
can,
to the show.
They can, you can be around the world and go to CHRI
YouTube,
and listen.
That's right. On the iHeart Radio app. Can you say that really
fast? I don't know. Yeah.
That's where CHRI is. YouTube, podcasting platforms. You guys know all of that. You're listening to all of that. So, although, funny thing, you said this to me last week.
I know. I was just thinking about that.
How many people apologize? I've heard you on the radio once or twice, but I just can't listen on Friday mornings. And we're like, well, it's on like all the time everywhere. So, you
just
know, welcome
reminding
to the world
you, if you have to turn us off all of a sudden or right now, you can go and listen to the show later because you won't want to miss our guest, Vicki Ruby. Mm-hmm. So, Vicki, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Do you want to know where I listen?
Yeah, where do you listen?
On Spotify.
There you okay. go.
I follow on Spotify.
Oh, yes. Nice.
So you come up in my new episodes. Yeah. And then I go listen.
Yes. Oh, wow.
So Spotify Podbean, all of them. Follow whatever you're following us on.
It is just really funny because I used to just make fun of Dave. Can we not say every week that go to the podcast platforms and can you just not say it? But so many people think that we're only here.
We're not here to talk about that.
But I know we're here. But I just,
part of the continuing
series. I talk to Vicki
all
the time. So this is just like having a continued conversation. Okay. We are going to be purposeful and intentional. And you are part of our series that I have been working at inviting a guest a month to talk about how God's provided financially for you. And I just want to take a moment and thank you for coming to share your story today.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. So can you tell us who you are? Because some listeners would have heard the other half of you. Last year, we invited your other half.
Yeah, we had John on.
Yes. The other half was wondering why he wasn't invited.
I bet. Well, we'll have to take it up with the producer here.
So. Yeah, it's your turn.
That's what I said. I'm Vicki and I'm married to John. We have been active in the church community in Ottawa for, I guess, going just over 18 years, probably.
Wow.
Since we came back to the Lord, we'd left for several years and wandered in the wilderness. And now we have a kombucha brewery, tasting room, kind of like a cafe that's open during the week.
Mm-hmm.
We operate our church out of there and events, and I'm pretty much there full time.
Okay. And it's Carlington Booch. If you want kombucha, please go to Carlington Booch because it's really yummy. If you like kombucha, not everyone does, but if you do, it's really good. And your peach one presently is my favorite.
So good. And if you come in, you get to sample it.
Yes.
Because we have a tasting room.
So. Yes. And you guys make great coffee. So just saying, if you want a really good coffee, go between 10 and 2, really, and you'll get some good coffee there. They're right around the corner from our office. So yeah, Dave's always laughing at me. I'm going to talk to Vicki or I'm going to get a coffee. Yeah,
and I'll see you in 3 hours. So
that's pretty much what happens. Anyway, on to your story, because I asked you to share some scripture that was meaningful for you. And it actually happens to be one of my favorite passages, Isaiah 55. And can you, would you mind just sharing that verse and why it's important to you?
Isaiah 55, 1 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." And for us, that, you know, doesn't include wine anymore. We drank it all and we're done now. So we're going to take a break from that. We've been on a break almost 19 years now from alcohol. Well, John, 19 years, almost 19 years sober. And I actually stopped drinking, probably about 6 years ago. So that's part of our story, but it's, you know, it's funny how you get a little further away from that and that doesn't become the whole story anymore.
Right.
And actually money is a big part of our story too. So, the Lord, yeah. Did I answer that question?
Yeah. I don't know.
The Lord has just done like so much healing in different areas and it all kind of tied together for us.
Yeah. So, and we often say it more than enough or hear that, money isn't about the money.
Right.
It's what, you know, the heart issues, which is one of the reasons we invited you to come.
Yeah.
And you know, we joke that John's not here, but I think I wanted to hear your perspective just financially of how God's taken care of you, over the years, because you've had fluctuating income, you know. So I don't even know where we should start. How would you summarize your marriage of 23 years, and the God's part of His provision for you?
Yeah. So 23 years of marriage. We met actually in high school. So we met just over 32 years ago.
Wow.
It took us a little while to get, you know, to make things official. We like to do everything backwards. So we're trying to redeem that. And so for us, you know, I already came into our relationship with a lot of baggage around money and finances. I grew up in a family that often there was this sense that there just was never enough.
Right.
And, you know, powdered milk in the summers, my mom babysat kids. And so in the summertime where I grew up in Winnipeg, people took the summers off and were home with their kids, or maybe she just didn't have as many kids. And so we had less income. So, you know, powdered milk and pea soup and are like huge, you know, right, trigger points for me. Yeah.
So don't bring you a can of pea soup. Is that what you're saying?
Never touched it since. But not realizing, like, you know, all the other stuff aside, you know, even as John and I were like reconciling and repairing our marriage and God was doing like big, amazing things, we just, you know, once you have a little bit of breathing room, I saw, oh, wow, I have this huge wound around money, you know, and it was just such this massive trigger point for me. And we would joke, like John would joke back in the day, you know, if he wanted to go out drinking, like all he had to do was ask me about money and this big fight would break out and then he'd have a great excuse to go out. Like, well, I'm out of here, you know, and off he'd go. But it was just this big open wound for me for so many years that at a certain point, I'm going to say probably around 12, 13 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I just said enough is enough. Like, I'm done. I don't want to fight about this anymore.
Yeah.
So thankfully we had heard about More Than Enough and we'd actually had a coach come to a thing we were at and gave us like homework and we had papers that we brought home from that. And I remembered that binder in that fight and I went upstairs and I got the binder and I slammed it on the kitchen table and opened it up and was like, we need to do something about this. And so I pulled out, you know, this information that we'd gotten. We looked at it and it said, like, we'll give you a free session. Mm-hmm. So we booked the free session and got on just a completely different trajectory with our finances.
You know, it's so cool to hear that part of the story because I think your story is, I hear that story often. It's like, you know, there's this period and then eventually you just go, okay, we're doing something. And the fact that you and John got to that point together, like kind of at the same time, that's just powerful. It just is powerful for change. Yeah. Neat.
Because often sometimes we see people, one of the couples ready and not the other. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it that part's wonderful mm-hmm. that you guys came to it together. But man, you guys have been through a lot of process and healing.
Yeah.
But how have you, like, so in the midst, while you were thinking, okay, we got to make some changes and all that, were you able to see the years before, like as you reflect back, were you able to see that God was providing in different mm-hmm. ways, even with the wounded spaces mm-hmm. that you were having around money?
Well, even in our like absolute broken mm-hmm. space, like just in the worst of the worst, you know, there was some things that were really important to me. And so one of the things is eventually we wound up buying a house. I don't even know how that. It was a miracle that we got to buy a house. Mm-hmm. There was no houses in the price range that we were able to purchase in. And this was before John got sober. It was after we got married, but before he got sober. And he was working for a union, and we got approved for a mortgage, and we started looking, and it's devastating. You know, this mm-hmm. was 2004. Housing prices were so low. And then series of events, we find a house mm-hmm. for exactly the amount that we had. It was, you know, through a friend that we knew from high school, and he gave it to us for what we had been approved for. Mm-hmm. And I knew, even when the bottom fell out of everything, keep mm-hmm. paying the mortgage. You know, there was like some solid things that I had been taught from my family of origin. I really believe that was one of them. You know, you just always pay the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some other things would kind of fall by the wayside. But still, you know, there was enough provision, even when I wasn't following God. I had never rejected God. I just didn't know how to incorporate those beliefs mm-hmm. into my life,
yeah.
especially in the midst of such pain. I feel really still that I was cared for and protected mm-hmm. even in that time. And so kept paying the mortgage, never mm-hmm. didn't pay the mortgage. And so even when the bottom fell out, you know, we got to keep this house.
And then you're still in that house.
We're still in that house. Yeah. We bought it in 2004. And, you know, a couple times I would be honest and say, you know, decided we needed a bigger house, decided mm-hmm. we needed a garage. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have a garage. We have this tiny little townhome, but it's freehold. There's no condo fees, mm-hmm. which is a miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, here I get unsettled and I'm looking at houses and I decide, we need to move, you know, we need a house. And so I'm contacting, you know, real estate and the mortgage broker and all this stuff. And then just thankfully recognizing like, oh God, you gave us this house. It was a miracle. And actually it's not true. Like you're not telling us that we should move. You're telling you like, yeah. we should stay here. Mm-hmm. And then I had to like, you know, email my friend who's the mortgage broker and mm-hmm. say, please take me off your email list. I had to email my friend who's the real estate agent and say, please unsubscribe me. Mm-hmm. I can't get these emails. This was before the thing was at sure. the bottom, yeah, right? Yeah, you know? Yeah, so you actually have to like do this in-person thing of like, I actually need you to take me off this email list. It was creating, I recognized it was creating a dissatisfaction in me.
Right.
When
wow.
I would get these emails, I would start looking and thinking, and I thought, no, I don't need this in my life. And so I had to ask my friends, mm-hmm. please take me off your list, your email list.
Was that hard to do?
Yeah. Yeah. They were gracious. Of course they are. They don't mm-hmm. care. But for me, you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm letting somebody down or I'm rejecting mm-hmm. them because I'm not getting their emails anymore. It's totally right, not true.
Right.
No, but we think.
Yeah.
yeah. And what that's all was all attached to in your story and what you were trying to break free out of actually.
So then staying in that house has actually, and then another significant piece for us too, was early in recovery. And John did 12-step mm-hmm. through Alcoholics Anonymous, which I'm so incredibly grateful for. That's how he actually reengaged with God. Mm-hmm. You know, AA pointed John to God. Mm-hmm. And I think
wow.
that I love to point that out because I think there's some misunderstanding in the sure. church about AA and that it actually is a godless program. And it's not. It does give people the permission to come to know God mm-hmm. on their own terms and through mm-hmm. their, you know, where they're at. But the ultimate purpose of that whole program is to lead them into a relationship with God, capital G. There is but one God, it says in the book, mm-hmm. who can solve all our problems. It's mm-hmm. right written in print in their main text. And mm-hmm. so I'm so grateful they also teach us about making amends. Mm-hmm. And so for us, as we were early in our journey, we knew that there was some financial amends we needed to make. Both of us had filed for bankruptcy at different points in time. Mine was quite early, and bad mm-hmm. advice. And then John's was right when he went to treatment. And we could never have repaid. I know some people who, you know, they feel convicted that they should repay those amounts. Mm-hmm. We just couldn't have.
Right.
And so what we settled on in our hearts through prayer and with God and in our, you know, really immature understanding at that point in time was that we wouldn't carry any debt. Mm-hmm. And we've carried that through. We don't ever carry any debt. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And what is that? Has it been a hard commitment to keep?
Sometimes. Yeah. The mortgage was the one initial, you know, the one that we had that we obviously kept and had to keep paying because we got to keep our house even when he filed for bankruptcy. There was no equity in it. So
that's probably a good thing.
For sure. I mean, yeah. Literally within a year of buying it was when he went to treatment. So and filed for bankruptcy. So we got to keep our house and we knew like that's a weight, right? Mm-hmm. To think like as God's conviction starts to come in of how you've lived your life and you think, oh, I made some really like terrible decisions. But I need to come out from under the weight of those decisions. Mm-hmm. So amends was a big part of it. And we see that clearly in the Bible, in the story of the prodigal son, right? Yeah. The prodigal son doesn't just come back and say, hey dad, let me live in your house for free. The prodigal son comes back and says, can I be a servant? Mm-hmm. I want to be a servant here. And his father is gracious and says, no, you don't have to. But this offer of like, I want to actually make right a wrong felt really significant to us and has grown in significance, I think.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah. For us.
How does that relate to understanding God's provision for you?
Because for us, obedience was such a big part of it.
Okay.
So, which in my having issues with authority when I was younger, you know, obedience was like this really bad word, right?
Bad word,
you know, like it was just cringy. And yet this idea that I would go to Jesus with my needs, that I would go and need to ask, the part that I understood was like, I don't have this weight that's holding me, that I don't have this weight that's pulling me down. So I actually have freedom. Mm-hmm. I have freedom to make like different decisions, with God. So then, our income grew, I had a great job and our income grew quite significantly. And there's a temptation to, change how we lived, right? There was a temptation. Yep. And, but what we were able to do is actually, no, we're going to pay off our mortgage. We're going to accelerate that. And then, cars, it was a big thing, which I know for so many people, right? 3 years in a row, our cars broke down right before Christmas.
Right.
And we always drove old cars. We paid cash for them. They were great cars. Two of them we got from a friend. So they were like 5 years old and he gave us a great deal. But because we had been like surrendered in this area and we had been, you know, we followed the like envelope plan in the beginning for a good 10 years. We followed the envelope system in full disclosure, not currently doing that. A little less disciplined these days than we were back then.
Yes.
But the car thing just got taken care of because we had an envelope for car repairs. We had an envelope for this. We had an envelope for Christmas. We had.
Right. Yes.
It was just through obedience. Like, you know, I hear miracle stories of like somebody gave me a car and I'm like, that's not my story. But my story is I got rear-ended. Part of like one story is I got rear-ended. The insurance company gave us $6,000. We're like, a car, like how are you going to find a car for $6,000?
Right.
And then you start to realize a tow hitch would be really great because we had just started the kombucha and you know, someone had given us would give us a trailer. And the only vehicle that we could find that was decent, that was in good shape, that had a tow package, would be sold to us for $6,000, was a Porsche Cayenne. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Which I was adamantly against.
I was
hoping
you'd tell this story.
Horrified.
A Porsche.
I'm not driving a Porsche, right? I'm like, I can't drive a Porsche. What are people going to say about us? What are people going to think? We can't drive a Porsche. But he kept looking. We could not find anything else.
Oh my goodness.
For $6,000. And it was in great shape. It was old, but it's got a Porsche engine on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a friend of a friend that has a garage and he was using it and doesn't need it anymore.
So what did you do?
Bought a Porsche.
Mm-hmm. You bought a Porsche.
Drove a Porsche.
I think I'm going to call the show this, like, listen to how Vicky bought a Porsche. Honey, I bought a Porsche.
It was horrifying to me because part of my wounding too is like, I really care what people think too much, right? Mm-hmm. I care too much to be in Christian ministry. You know, we were church planting at that point in time. You're a church planter and you're driving a Porsche. We heard it all the time. And then you're learning not to be defensive, right? Mm-hmm. Let God protect you. Let God defend you. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to justify. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at that. No, we only paid $6,000 for it. Like, you need to understand.
I'm sorry, Vicky.
It was fine. It was.
How long did you drive it?
Too long. Well, and our little kind of like hidden secret is actually that when that one broke down and was so rusted out, we were looking for a new car, and our friend loved our vehicle so much. He had bought the same one 2 years newer than ours. He sold it to us for six. He sold us his for $6,000. It was identical. So we actually bought a second Porsche and no one knew.
I knew because I had that conversation.
So now all of Ottawa knows that and the world.
We don't drive a Porsche anymore, so we don't care. Yeah, but
how long did you have the Porsche?
I feel like we drove Porsche for 5-6 years, maybe.
Yeah.
The first one was a 2006.
So it, like us, like with the Porsche, all of that, Porsche included.
It's a great car, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And anyone who is a mechanical probably saw you driving it and understood the cost, the fee, and why you would have bought
saw
it.
Saw the rusted doors.
Just saw the rusted doors. Like, some people can't look, you know, don't look clean. I probably would have said, oh, it's a Porsche. And he would have said, oh, yeah, do you see the rust? Do you see, you know, because that's how you're wired. But saying all of that, what I'm hearing you say is that sometimes God's provision comes in miracles, but sometimes God's provision comes through your obedience.
Yeah.
And understanding your role in the process of stewarding God's resources.
Yeah. And it was a really tough thing for me to accept that provision and not let my pride get in the way, right? Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, it's pride that doesn't want my pride doesn't want me to drive a Porsche because my pride is worried about what you think about me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And we, you know, I would have thought about that initially as insecurity, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm worried about what people think me. But I've recognized, like, when I read scripture about pride, it's talking about my insecurity. Mm-hmm. My insecurity and pride are just so closely related because I want to protect myself. I want you to think a certain way of me. And when you don't think that certain way of me, like when you don't see how much I've sacrificed so that I can serve the Lord,
that
gets tricky.
I know.
And I don't feel like I live under that anymore.
Okay. Wow.
Thankfully, most of the time, but also I don't drive a Porsche.
So anyone out there who has a used Porsche that
I don't want it. We got rid of it.
I was
going
to say, don't send it to Vicky or John.
It was terrible on gas, so we had to get rid of it. We got rid of it several years ago because the price, like, it was just crazy. We're like, we can't fill this tank. Who cares if we don't have car payments? Still don't have car payments. Somebody wanted our Porsche so badly that they traded us. We got a station wagon. So now our pride is just
We have a station wagon. Awesome. So I'm just to quickly recap, because we're coming to the end of the show, not to recap because you haven't told this part. I said it wrong. But you then left your job, watched God do all kinds. I mean, that's a whole, we could have you for a whole other show for that part. But how amazing.
Well, it wasn't my choice. I lost my job, or my job ended.
Okay.
Which I had lots of advance warning and had a great job that, you know, came with a severance package. But I really thought, okay, I'll take a year off. And we prayed about it and felt like, no, no, God, you know, God, it's, we thought of it like a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And then I would go back and I had this whole, this is where I'll go back to. And this is the salary I'll make. And, you know, this was where I was supposed to be working. This was, mm-hmm. it was part of my calling, like where I was working. And that just totally changed. I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm. Because now you are fully in Union City Church and Carlington Booch.
Yeah, I'm a
administrating and helping.
Yeah,
you and John are leading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see that coming. We didn't. We wouldn't. I don't. I mean,
maybe you're still not sure how to phrase it or think about it.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd ever work together.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling.
I don't take a full time salary from the church at this point. That's not. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I just love. Mm-hmm. This freedom. Like, I can't believe I have this freedom.
Wow. And mm-hmm. your bills are paid every month.
Our bills are paid. Well, yeah, John.
Yeah.
We made choices, mm-hmm. you know, we made choices
in how you live your life,
how we live our life
because so that you mm-hmm. can do what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's simple mm-hmm. and there's things I had to give up, you know?
Yep. Yeah. We talked about like vacations.
Oh, I'd love to travel. Like I've loved to travel since I was a kid. Traveled. My father worked for the airline. So that's just right. like,
travel. Yeah.
You know, but it's just not our season right now. And that's okay.
Wow. Interesting. I, you know, as you're telling your story and we're wrapping up the show, I just, I kept thinking about the Israelites in, you know, as they're going from slavery to the promised land and just the part around the manna where God says clearly, you know, it's part of this is just obedience. Collect it for 6 days. On the seventh day, I'll provide for two. This is what you need to do. The simplicity of mm-hmm. that and hearing your story and just, again, maybe that's the Davin part of it to just say, wow, like kudos to you for that simple obedience that stands in the provision of God. So just, yeah, thank you for doing that. It's fun.
Thank you.
Wow.
I mean, it's messy still mm-hmm. in of many course. Ways. But you know, we have seen God's provision come through, like you're going to work. Yeah. You're going to work. This is how you're going to work. This is what work is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there have been people who I know you say, oh, I'm going to the beach for a week. And there are people and friends who have come alongside and said, yeah, Vicky, you need to come away. And so you've had those beautiful things.
Yeah, I got to go to Florida 3 times 1 year. What?
I know. All right, well, let's pray because we have to wrap up the show. Do you want to pray, Rip?
No, you can actually today.
So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for your story in John and Vicky and specifically your story coming through Vicky this morning and just seeing how, you're at work and seeing you glorified through the money story that they have. And we just praise you in Christ's name this morning. Amen.
Amen.
So you can join us next week when we talk money again. I have no idea what's happening next week. So you better join us because it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, and thank you to Financial Discipleship Canada for sponsoring the show. And thank you, Vicky, for coming in and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.